Cup of Gratitude with Amanda Schaefer. Hi, I'm your host, and I'm so glad you stopped by. This podcast is really for anyone, anywhere, anytime, and it's about taking a moment to slow down and look around and actually see all of the good things that are there. There's an old question that asks, is your cup half empty or half full? But I think a better question is, what's in your cup? I mean, a drop of gratitude will benefit your life unimaginably more than a full cup of anything else. So let's settle in and take a look at how we can shift our focus and embrace the joy and the wonder of the life that we have. And once you start, you won't be able to stop seeing the good. And just like me, you won't be able to stop talking about it. And somehow that creates even more. Even in the midst of difficulty, even when it's really hard, learn how to drink from a cup of gratitude. Welcome. Today we have with us Melissa, who is a single mom to two daughters. She has spent over 10 years without a romantic relationship in her life because of her desire to honor God and obey what she believes He's directed for her. She's also a musician who sings and plays the keyboard and writes music. And her music is designed to glorify God, to encourage your heart, and to strengthen your faith. Welcome, Melissa. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to have this conversation with you.
Me too.
So I wanted to start with asking you, have you always wanted to be married?
Yes, I always wanted to be married. I always wanted, growing up, when people would say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I would say, I want to be a housewife. And I know that's a weird thing to say, especially as a kid, but in the environment that I was raised in, it was a conservative Baptist Christian home. Mm-hmm. And that was an honorable thing to want to be. And I always wanted to be married, be a homemaker, have kids, my responsibility, be at home with the kids, take care of the home, be a good cook, be a good baker, be creative.
I think that's awesome. I don't know why more kids don't want to grow up and do that. Yeah. I think we give them too many other options. Right. Could you tell me and us a little bit about how you met and married your ex-husband?
Yes. So I actually met him through the church I was attending. I had come back to church after quite a while of being away from God. And when I saw him across the auditorium at church, at this Baptist church I was attending that I had grown up in, I thought, I need to know who that man is. And then we met like maybe within a week or two of that. And it was at like a singles get together through the church. Mm-hmm. And he had shared some of his testimony at church when he was given the opportunity. So I used that as an excuse when I talked to him. I said, I'd love to hear more of your testimony. That's like a Christian pickup line in an appropriate female way without being too aggressive. And it worked. And so we just connected and we started talking and we were somewhat inseparable after that.
And how did that move on into marriage?
So I would say it happened pretty quickly because we had people in our lives who knew both of us. And there was people saying that they were surprised we hadn't gotten together sooner. Mm-hmm. And so there was people around us in our environment, this Christian environment, that saw that we had a lot of compatibility. We had both gone away into the world and lived for ourselves and then come back to God. And so we had that in common. And both of us were very passionate about our faith. We loved Jesus. We wanted to serve God and just do whatever we could, stay involved in church and to help others.
Right.
We had a lot of that in common, but there was some major concerns that other people had that were justified. And that was that he already had two daughters out of wedlock, and their mother was heavily involved in this situation. There was a lot of fighting over the kids, and it was just very messy. And I somewhat naively thought, I'm just going to go into this situation, do the best I can, and love these kids and love this mother, and it'll all work out. And so I was a little bit naive and not really fully understanding what a blended family is and all of the work and the effort that goes into that if you're trying to do it right. Yeah. And so we got married though and started down the path of trying to figure out what does this look like? you know, being married with him having two kids, them coming in and out as they were able with timing and scheduling, and then getting into battles with their mother over mm-hmm. custody situations. And we just ended up going to court and just fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting until finally, eventually we gained custody of his two daughters, and they came to live with us full time. And I really was as much to them as a mother as I could be. And they knew that I loved them, that I was there for them, that I wanted to help them however I could. But certainly it wasn't all good things. Lots and lots of battles, lots and lots of fighting, you know, just trying to struggle and wrestle with what does God want in this?
Wow. Yeah, it sounds like it. And I mean, you weren't married before, so that wasn't most likely part of the scenario you had in your mind growing up about what marriage would be.
Yes, I'm glad you pointed that out, because I didn't even necessarily want to have children. So when I met a man who already had children, I thought, oh, this is great. He's not going to pressure me to have kids. I'll just take care of his, you know, as the situation allows. And then that desire changed as well, because when you love someone, like, eventually you do get to like thinking, might be nice to make a baby with you.
Yeah.
But I wanted to make another point. Before I got married, it was the day of the wedding, and I was extremely nervous. I was completely ready to get married, with one exception. I just didn't have my wedding dress on yet. I had other things on. And I was in the room with all the women that were there to support me. And I said, I just need to step away and have some moments of peace with God and just really make sure this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And because it was such a messy situation with him with the kids and just not knowing what was to come.
Right.
I went into this closet with a Bible, and I just sat there and I said to God, if you want me to walk away from this man right now, I will. I will walk out the door right now. I will not go through with this marriage and this wedding. And I'm okay with that if that's what you want for me, God. And I felt like very clearly, like God spoke to me just in my head. He said, if you walk away from him, you're walking away from me. And so there was a lot of peace that came in that moment of just knowing that this was the path God had for me. And whatever came, it was where God had directed me.
Right. That's powerful. And, you know, to get yourself to the position where you were willing to do whatever God was going to say mm-hmm. after having left God and come back. I wanted to ask real quickly, so what was it that had you leave God?
Well, I went through some abuse as a child and some twisting of the scripture and just distortion of what God's love really meant and what it was supposed to be in my life.
Yeah.
And I went away from God out of anger and just hurt and feeling like this, you know, I just can't believe what I've been taught to believe as a child because it's so distorted. It doesn't align. It doesn't make sense with
right.
what my reality is looking like. And so I just went out and I tried to live for myself. I tried to pretend there wasn't a God, and yet he would just keep calling me through nature, through people, through events. He was just calling me to come back to him. And I just kept fighting and fighting and fighting until finally I had a series of events that happened within a 2-week period where a friend committed suicide. I had to have surgery for precancerous cells to be removed. I lost my car in a car accident. I got hit by a drunk driver, and I survived, and I was inches from death. And so just a series of events that happened where God just brought me to this place of being like totally looking up at him and saying, I can't fight you anymore. I yeah. surrender. Yeah. And from that moment, and that was July of 2001. So coming up on, you know, more than 20 years, but, as of that time, it's like I never went back to the lifestyle I was living of drugs, alcohol, sex, living for myself.
That's
right.
I never
went back to that.
That's right. I mean, I'm coming up on 20 years in May since I came to Christ. I grew up in a Christian family and I went to church, but I never knew Jesus. I didn't understand, you know, again, like you're saying, I had these examples given to me that just didn't line up with anything that made sense to me or that I wanted. Mm-hmm. And once I experienced the loving kindness and the mercy and grace that I had been extended, like, I've never looked back. Wow, yeah. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I'm thankful.
I am as well. Why do you believe your marriage failed?
Well, my husband was in training to be a pastor. He was going to seminary, and he was also running a landscaping business. We were doing that together, and he became sick with Crohn's disease. And when he got the diagnosis, finally, that that's what was causing him all this pain and debilitation, he started down the path of using prescription medication to treat the pain. Mm. And as he was trying to run his business, he was not taking good care of his body. He was not eating well. He was not staying hydrated. You know, there's a lot of things he could have done differently to help himself be healthy. But instead, he wanted to maintain a fast pace and just take the medication to medicate. And we were going in and out of the hospital, and I saw him like really quickly going downhill with his health, you know, losing 40 pounds and just on the floor, balled up, crying in pain. Wow. It was really hard to watch. And at that point, we had his two daughters living with us and our own daughter together, and just having these three kids in our care and him going in and out of the hospital and trying to run a business. It was a really stressful situation.
Yeah.
And when eventually he started down that path of abusing the pain medicine, we were in the hospital one time and the doctor said to him, "You are going down a bad path of, you know, prescription medication addiction and abuse. And if you don't stop now, this is not going to end well." And I was hearing this and I was shocked and offended. And I thought, you know, this guy doesn't understand the pain that my husband's in. Mm. And it was hard to hear that. But I also remembered it because that's exactly what happened. As time went on, he just became more and more abusive with the medication, to the point that one time I dumped it down the toilet at the doctor's advice, and he was so mad, but it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And I was trying to follow him, allow him to lead as a godly leader. I was trying to let him lead and support him however I could. But there was a point that came where I said, I can no longer support this. You know, the things yeah. I'm seeing and the behaviors that are happening, this is destructive to me, it's destructive to our children. And yeah. this is not who God wants you to be. Things that I would say to him, I clearly remember this one night when he was in a lot of pain and he was struggling just emotionally and physically. And I just like came to him and I was like, I want to be here for you. I'm here, you know, let's do this together. And he shut me out. And it was in that moment, like you can mark it as a marker, like it started. It had already been in progress, but at that moment, it was a turning point yeah. where he made a decision. I'm not going to let you in, and I'm not going to let you continue this journey with me in the sense of fighting, you know, the drug addiction.
Right.
And then eventually he started to abuse illegal drugs because he couldn't get the prescriptions legally anymore. Mm-hmm. So then he went down the path of illegal drug abuse. And that happened for a little bit. And when the very first time that he used in our marriage, where he used illegal drugs, I immediately got the people in our lives involved. I got our pastor involved. I got other men involved who were in his life that knew him, that have been doing life with us. And I said, you know, I can't hide or protect or cover this in love anymore.
Yeah.
This is sinful. It's wrong. And I need it. I need help. And so they, went and tried to find him physically, you know, to bring him back from what he was doing. And there was a period of a few months where we were trying to work on things and do better. And I got pregnant with his fourth daughter, my second. And I know the timing of it, I thought, oh, wow, God, like, I feel like an idiot. You know, why would I bring a baby into this situation, another one? But I relied on that God's word is true, that he creates life, that he doesn't make mistakes, and that he had formed this child in my womb. And I'm so thankful that he did. She's wonderful.
Yeah.
But in that was another problem for him, if you will. And when he found out it was going to be a girl, he was really disturbed by that. He was very hopeful he was going to have a son. And when he found out it was going to be his fourth daughter, that was discouraging for him. And along with all of the other stresses and hardships that he was experiencing, he just went back to the drugs. And
yeah.
he found that for him, it was easier in one sense for him to just give up, turn to the drugs, go use the drugs, and not keep fighting this battle to fight for his family, to fight for all of his children. And so in that, eventually he crossed the line, like things went way too far. And I was just waiting for the right moment, the right time where I could say, okay, I'm 100% justified here in telling him that you need to leave and get help. And when you're ready and healthy, you can come back. And yeah. We finally got to that place. And I said that to him, and it was all just very messy, not pleasant at all. But by faith, I was trusting God that God was going to take care of me and these three children, as well as the one that was in my womb.
Right.
And in doing that, when we separated, I did not know at the time, but we never would reconcile.
Wow. You know, drawing those boundary lines and no longer enabling someone, something I'm familiar with as well. I have an ex-husband out there who struggled with addiction, and it's messy and it's difficult. And it's someone that you had loved enough to marry and you want the best for them, but you also need to do what's best for you. Right. And for the children, and be their advocate and your own advocate. And a lot of people need to hear what you're saying, you know, the struggle, but also the final decision. Mm-hmm. So what was it like for you as a mother and a Christian being separated that way and then divorced?
Well, I would say in one sense, it was embarrassing. I mean, for sure, because you don't go down the path of marriage thinking that, you know, everybody understands divorce could be a possibility in their future potentially, but nobody wants that.
Right.
And so there is shame that comes with the situation, and knowing that my husband was out there doing drugs, robbing people, whatever he had to do to get his fix, that's what he was doing. And wow. It was hard to imagine that a part of me, you know, because we're married, we're joined, and it was hard to imagine a part of me was out there doing these things. And I would say for the first year, I didn't know if he was being sexually active with anyone else. I was not, but I don't know, he would say he wasn't for at least the first year. But the in and out of him coming in and out of our lives, I would say the first year was difficult because I was in the process of figuring out what are the boundaries, what should his access be to his children, and what is safe for them. And if you could imagine the perspective of his two daughters that were not mine, they had lived with their mother. Then their father had fought for custody of them and won. And then they lived with me, and I'm their stepmom, and their mother was still in the picture, and I would take them to see her. But like trying to manage this blended family situation and encouraging them to have a relationship with their mom and making that happen for them, giving them opportunities to go see her, and then also having to care for my other daughter, who was two, I think, and then having this baby in my womb that's growing. I mean, it's just a lot of responsibility.
Wow, that sounds completely overwhelming.
Yeah, it was. And I think I go back to this one time in my life where, like, I think now when current events happen, like, what is too much? You know, when have I ever been to that place where I'm like, God, it's just too much. I can't handle it. And I'm breaking down. And one of those significant times was I was trying to breastfeed my baby after she was born. And I was also fighting for custody of my stepdaughters through the legal system because I needed to have the ability to make decisions on their behalf because I was the one taking care of them. And so I was in the court system fighting against the mother and father to take custody of the two girls. And that day that I'm trying to breastfeed my daughter, the mother calls because she got the court papers that say that I'm fighting for custody of her daughters. And she says, where are my kids? And I said, they're right here with me where they always are. And man, she lost it. And that hurt her. And I didn't mean it to, but it hurt her to hear me say it. And then where is he, you know, and having to explain to her what's going on with him, that he's off using drugs full time. And it's not that she had no knowledge. She just had minimal knowledge of what was going on with him.
Yeah.
But in that moment, And then my little daughter comes in and she's crying and she needs my help. And I'm trying to do all of these things at once. And I was like, God, this is too much. And I just started crying and lost it. And I look at that, like, I don't know that I've ever been that overwhelmed since. And I use it as a marker. Like, am I that overwhelmed right now? No, it's not that bad. Okay, good. But just the burdens and the weight of trying to care for everyone, including myself. And as far as, you know, the mothering in this situation goes, so I was being a stepmother to my two stepdaughters, and they had their own emotional issues that they were dealing with because of how much change had happened in their life and the negative and wrong things that had been done to them, and facing abandonment from their father.
Yeah.
And just all the issues they were working through, self-harm was a part of it as a way of coping. And so there was a lot going on that we were trying to work through, all while I'm taking care of these two younger children who are mine and who I'm trying to protect as much as I can from the hurt of this entire situation. And let me just say, so ultimately I go back to the cross, to Jesus. I lay it down. I say, God, you love these kids more than I do. And they are yours and they're in your care ultimately. And it's my job here to just lead them and direct them as best I can. But I have to rest in your care, that you are at work here, that I'm not in this alone, and that it's through your power that I can do the things that you're calling me to do.
That's right. So
some of the things were, you know, being there for them emotionally, physically, mentally. I made a promise to myself that I would not like break down in front of these kids as much as I could help it. And also not to put my burdens on them, because they had been through so much. And like, I wanted to help them and love them and make them feel as secure as I could, even though there was a lack of security.
Absolutely. But we also have to realize, like you said, you know, we can only do so much. And so in your making sure that you sat at the feet of Jesus and your faith was strong, that allowed him to pour through you to them. And there's only so much we can do as a person, as a parent, with all of that chaos. I mean, it just really sounds like such a difficult time. And I'm so glad that you were able to make your way through that and to be there for all of them.
Yeah.
So with all of that going on, was there ever a time that you desired like going out and dating?
So what I didn't say was that as I was waiting for my husband, he would be in and out of our lives, and he would be going in and out of rehab, and even a little bit of in and out of prison, you know, just because of the things he was doing. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to give him every opportunity to come back to us. And I gave him clear boundaries. Like I would say, when you are healthy and well, and I think we can kind of understand what that implies. You know, it was pretty clear to him. That meant no drugs, and it meant for an extended period of time. And then we got to the point where I had to say, I can't trust your word anymore, because he'll tell me he's clean and fine all day long and then find out he's not. So I had to have verification that someone else could say he is clean and well and healthy, and you should allow him to have some access to the kids, and you should allow him to start trying to work on the marriage. So we went through that process for about 5 years. I mean, and I was just living as a married, separated woman, and I did not entertain dating at all because I was married. I see profiles on dating sites of people who are saying they're married but separated and they're looking to date. And I believe that's sin. And anyone who comes in between that time could be affecting what God intends, which is for the husband and wife to be together.
Absolutely. So, but I mean, you did eventually get divorced at that point.
Yeah. So I gave him the 5 years, and I don't know exactly why it was 5 years. I didn't set that in advance, like, oh, it's going to be 5 years and then I give up. But I did. It just happened to be that towards the end of the fourth year, he was in like probably his third or fourth relationship with another woman, living with her full time. And then just knowing that like we had made every effort to try to reconcile, and he was not willing to do the work.
Right.
I do want to add, you know, the thing is, like, God gives us free will. And so he did not make my husband obey and do what was right. And as much as I wish God would have brought restoration to the marriage, that's not what happened, because we have free will.
That's right.
And not that my prayers weren't answered. And God did so many things through that 5 years of interceding for my husband and praying for him. I mean, there's many times he should have died and he didn't in that 5 years. And, but it was not God's will in one sense. Like, he wanted us to be together. That's his goal for marriage, is to have the husband and wife together, but it wasn't where we would end up. So after the 5 years, right at the end of it, I filed for divorce. I did not take that lightly at all. I prayed and fasted for a month before I filed, and had other people praying and fasting with me also to just make sure that this was what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I did that. So I filed for the divorce, and he did not contest it because he was already with someone. And it, God's word was being fulfilled, because he says, you know, when you go down the path of an adulteress, it ends in death. And I felt like that scripture was something that applied to him, that he chose his path.
Absolutely. I was wondering, though, like, mixed in with all of that, did you still have this desire to fill that husband kind of space? Like, I've said it myself, and I know that it's true, that Jesus is a perfect husband. Mm-hmm. I mean, Isaiah 54:5 tells us that God himself is our husband, and, you know, that that should be good enough for us. But what was your honest experience having Jesus as your husband? Did you feel like something was still missing in your life?
Yes, I did. I love that Jesus is there for me. And I have this image that I go to where I'm walking alongside this babbling creek with Jesus, and I'm in the woods, and it's me and him, and we're holding hands, and there's just such a peace, and I can tell him anything. And that's how I think of Jesus as my husband, that he's mm-hmm. there for me all the time. Right. I can go to him in that place anytime. So he is a good husband. He takes good care of me. He makes me feel valued. He makes me feel worthy, even when my earthly husband made me feel like I wasn't worth fighting for and not having value. And one of the battles I went through was not taking on that yoke or that burden that I'm worthless because my husband's not willing to fight for me and his kids. So that's something that Jesus reinstated in me, is my value and who I am in him.
That's right.
And then as far as the earthly husband, like, it was so difficult taking care of 4 kids by myself. Mm-hmm. And certainly knowing, you know, the bitterness and the resentment could have grown and festered against my husband. But that was something I strived to fight through so that I could have peace, so that I could have love, so that I could have joy and have something to give back to my children and others. But wanting a man to be in this situation with me, having to constantly always make the decisions myself for my family, it's a burden. And I don't know that, like, I know some people could be content to just be alone forever. I've always felt like I'm made to be someone's wife. You know, there's a part of me that loves that role and that idea. And I want to be that. I want to be someone's wife and to be able to do it well.
Absolutely. I think God puts things, different things on our hearts. I mean, I'm single. My ex-husband's my ex-husband, and I'm not currently dating nor looking for anyone because I have not found anyone able to lead me or able to kind of check off all the boxes that I believe a godly man should be. And I came to Christ in that marriage and did not choose a godly man and did not have a good outcome. And so I personally am okay. I do feel content without anyone. If somebody came along, I would entertain it, I guess. But I also feel like it's maybe a season thing. But I do feel like from the beginning, you said as a kid, you always had that in your heart. So I think God puts different things in different people's hearts. And so it makes sense that that's something that you still desire. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that your ex-husband eventually passed away, and I'm sorry for your loss. What was that experience like for you and for the kids?
It was really hard. Certainly not the end that I was hoping for, because even after the divorce, You know, there was, I think the door was closed between him and I. But if God had said to me, go back in a relationship with him, I would have, if that's what God directed, if he was in it, if my ex-husband was in a place that he was healthy and well, absolutely. And so the divorce, though, was like closing the door, you know, the marriage is done and I have freedom now to go look for someone else. Yeah. So I was looking actively, and I bring that up because that happened at the time he passed away. I was out there looking. I was free in the sense that I'm a single woman. And he had been just released from prison, and I met with him 2 months before he died. I did not know, obviously, that would be the last time I would meet with him. Yeah. But I was able to look him in the eyes and tell him that I cared about him, that I was for him, that I forgave him for everything. We just had a really great conversation where we came to peace with each other. And he had already been living with a woman, and he had had his fifth daughter.
Wow.
So, yeah. So there's five of them and three baby mamas. And I'm one of them. A little embarrassing, but well, you know, it is what it is. But I add that because when he passed away, it was actually on Christmas Day. And wow. It's really hard to get that call on Christmas morning that he was gone. And initially they said it wasn't drugs, but it actually was. It was a combination of two drugs that stopped his heart. Wow. And I know, having met with him 2 months before, I know he was trying, like he was going to go down the path of trying again, you know, to do what was right and get his life together and try to have a future with his children. Those are the things he wanted and what he wanted to work for. And then what I'd heard from some of his family was that he had another injury. He got hurt on his shoulder. And so he just put two medications together that he shouldn't have. And that was it. That was his last chance to do the right thing. And it didn't happen. And certainly hard to understand why he's gone, but it might never be for us to understand the why.
Yeah.
And as far as how was that, you know, for us? Well, we came together at the funeral home. It was my two daughters, his two daughters, and the third baby mama.
Yeah.
We were all there together crying and loving on each other and, you know, lack the sadness of seeing him in that position and just knowing it was final. Yeah. It was really hard. And my two daughters were in such a good and healthy place that they've actually processed it really well. I'm very surprised at how well they've done, actually.
Right.
And my one daughter had a better relationship with her father because she had more time with him when she was young. And my youngest daughter had very little time with him. So it's different things that they process having lost their father. And mainly the fact that there just isn't a father figure in their life. I think that's the biggest thing that all of them are lacking.
Yeah. I mean, how beautiful, but also strange that you were united in your loss with all of these different people, all brooding for and wanting the best for someone who ended up passing away. And how wonderful that your kids did have the opportunity to kind of be in a place where they were healthy and able to process it quickly. So I that is definitely God's grace. And honestly, I mean, the world has a lot of things to say to us, and God has other things to say. And it sounds like you listen to him all the way through, which is wonderful. And it's going to give you the best beneficial life that you can have.
Mm-hmm.
During this time, traversing all these different stages, now then going through the grief and the mourning of this loss, again, looking at my heart still wants to meet somebody. I mean, if singleness is what God had for you for the rest of your life, would you be okay with that?
I would, in the sense that, and I've said that to God, like, I am going to praise you and worship you no matter what. And so if the man never comes that you have for us, like, I think God has someone for us.
Yeah.
But if he never comes, I will still praise and worship you anyway, God. And I think that's what he wants, is that heart of surrender that says, I'm going to obey and follow. regardless.
That's right. The waiting is really hard. But if that's what your heart is, that whatever you have for me, that same heart that went into that closet with the Bible before you got married, you know, then what else can you do? You know, right. That total submission is the very best you can give him back.
Yes.
So how has your faith helped you to remain grateful during this time that you've been kind of longing to meet somebody?
Well, like you said, the waiting, and there's a lot of worship songs about waiting, you know, waiting on God. And I think in the Bible, like look at Joseph, you know, he waited for God a long time. And so there's promises that God speaks over us. And then there's the waiting for the promises to be fulfilled. And there's faith, trusting that something is going to happen. But even if, like, my biggest goal is to be content and at peace and have joy, even in the waiting. And so I want to be happy. And I mean, happiness comes and goes, but I want to be happy even in the waiting.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, some of the best stuff happens in the waiting. We just don't realize it till the waiting's over. Mm-hmm. So I know that the world also says that having non-marital sexual relations is fine. It's even normal to have sexual relations without being married. But that's not what God's word says. So during that time, all this time that you've been single, have you been purposeful about not engaging in anything that would displease God?
Yes, absolutely. And so for me, it was very important to remain pure. Like as a worship leader, doing music in churches and other events, like I want to be able to get up in front of people and point them to Jesus and not have like guilt and condemnation that restrains me, that holds me back from doing what God wants. And so yeah. If I'm secretly having sex or watching pornography or masturbating, like to me, that was a line that God drew where for me personally, I wasn't to awaken that love, and I'm putting in quotations, you can't see me, but awaken the love until the time is right. And that comes from Song of Solomon. Like, I don't want to get myself excited for something. And then if that becomes not enough fulfillment, then I go looking for more, and it just leads me down a bad path. So for me, what God called me to do was to just be pure and to strive to be able to raise up clean hands when I worship him.
Yeah, amen. And it's a very difficult thing. And unfortunately, a lot of people pick and choose. They declare themselves a Christian, but they don't want to follow everything that the Bible has to say or everything that God's asked us to do or not do. And that's what makes it a narrow path. And that's what makes it difficult. But that's also what allows us the closeness and to be in his presence, because he's holy. And even though Jesus went to the cross for us, we still have to do something with our sin. We still need to come back to him. We need to repent. We need to confess it. And we need to make choices to try not to do it.
Mm-hmm. And I would write like in my journal, you know, God, I want what you want more than what I want. And so if what I want right now in this moment is to be sexually fulfilled, I need to say, no, God, I'm not going to do that. And with your power and through your spirit, I'm going to fight that desire. And if I need to distract myself with something else or go get a friend and get some support and help to get past this moment, it's just like fighting any addiction. Mm-hmm. What are you going to choose in that moment when you're faced with that temptation to do that thing that you know is wrong? And no, it's not easy to stay pure and to do these things, but it's a heart's desire that I have to, like I said, to stay pure.
Yeah.
But to challenge people, like, are you staying pure? Are you calling yourself a Christian, but then violating this particular thing in scripture that then holds you back from being all that you could be in God?
Yeah, God has a calling for each of our lives, and he has all of these good plans for us and things that he would like us to do for his kingdom. And we miss out on so much of it just by our choices. Mm-hmm. So if you were able to give your younger self some advice, what would that be?
I think looking at my life, I would have told myself to listen to the good people that were in my life that were trying to give me advice and good direction. I just blew them off. Like, they don't know what they're talking about. And I'm going to figure this out on my own.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't been that way, and I had actually listened to some of the really good people and good advice that I was given along the way, my life would have gone very different.
Yeah, that's good advice. Recently you moved to another state, and as you're establishing some new roots there, like, what are your hopes and dreams about marriage? Do you think that being somewhere new kind of gives you maybe a fresh start? What are your feelings about that?
I am excited and looking forward to, like I said, trying to find the man God has for us. And even in doing that, one of the things I hadn't mentioned was I tried to do online dating and different dating apps throughout these last 5 years that I have been an actual single woman, no longer married, divorced. But during that time, like, trying to find the man, having God very clearly tell me, he's not coming through the dating app. He's not coming through there.
Nope. And, I'll bring him to you.
My personality, I'm like, I want to go find him now and make it happen in my own timing, in my own strength, my own power, and my own what I can make happen. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't worked, as you know, I'm today still single. So it hasn't happened. And I do feel though that as I was planning for this move, which was a big deal, we went from Pennsylvania to Georgia. At the leading of God, definitely he was in it. He gave me the direction to go, and then just so much that went with it from scripture that supported. And then everything just fell into place to make the move. But part of it in the back of my mind, not the front, like not the front issues, but the back, was maybe I'll find a good Southern man, you know, who has those good values. And
hey, you know.
Right. It's certainly possible.
There's something to that, perhaps.
Yeah. But just knowing that, like, God was directing, and so trusting him in that timing as well. So it's a little frustrating because I've been here almost 9 months and hadn't really met anybody yet. Nothing was really working. And just like coming back to that obedience to God, that if he's telling me shut down the dating site, shut it down.
That's right.
And
that's
listen, right. You know, and so I did that. And then surprisingly, this man popped up recently. Who for me is checking all the boxes. And what I mean by that is, like, God has given me some clear guidelines of what I was to look for.
Right.
Very specific things. And this is specific to me. This is not for somebody else. You know, their list is going to look different than mine. And it's not 20 items either. It was just a handful of specifics that God was saying, this is who I have for you. When you see this, these are signs that this, I hope, is the one, but could be, I'll say. So I started recently connecting with someone who has a lot of potential, because it's the first time I've met somebody in 5 years that met all of those things. And so, you know, for me, that's just obedience again, trusting God. Is this who you have for me? If it's not, I will walk away no matter the connection, because I want who God has for us. I want God's best. I don't want to settle for anybody that is not who God wants for us. And to that point, I would rather be alone. As much as I would desire to be a wife and desire those, that good situation of being married, I would rather be alone than to do that with someone that was not the person God had for us.
That's right. And, you know, I admire that. And as I said, I agree. I'm in the same kind of boat. There has not just even been anyone that I found that even really believed or had a faith in the same way that I do, that's very relational and not all about the law, or just they know the Bible, but they don't know Jesus. And I also, in almost everything I do, I'm the leader. Right. I would like someone to lead me. Yes. So, you know, God is doing a great job, but that's like my number one requirement, other than that they really know Jesus the way that I do, is that they'd be able to lead me. So if you're out there and you're listening, you know, but I am
out, right? Wait, you got to finish that. If you're out there and listening, please reach out.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, they, if they're listening, they know how to get a hold of me, but yes, I would entertain talking to you. My life is so full and so rich with the things that God has for me to do. I am walking out my calling. I am finding every way I can to share him and spending time sitting at the feet of Jesus and just
whatever season comes, just doing my best with it. But I wish you the best with this guy. So do you guys have plans to meet up? Have you met in person? What's the deal?
So we made a connection, not through a dating app, but we made a connection through Facebook, and not through the dating app, I'm pointing out again, but we actually knew someone in common, and so there was a connection made, and we started talking and messaging, and we haven't met in person yet because of our schedules, so today is the day that we'll be meeting in person.
Really? Now look at that. I put off this interview a couple times because I got really busy, and on the day we're talking about this, God has you going on your first date with someone in all 5 years. That's amazing. That's really, really cool.
Yeah. Well, I'll clarify. Just I have been on two dates with two other guys in 5 year period, but not. I knew they weren't. It wasn't this kind of a connection.
Yeah, it didn't sound like there was anyone before that had checked off the boxes. So. Exactly. I guess maybe that's when you wrote your list of boxes after the other guy. Well, I wish you the best. I'll be praying for you, for your date, and I would love to hear how that goes. And everybody, Melissa has, I'm going to put in her show notes, she does have a site where you could look at some of her worship songs or listen to them. And it's just been a delight talking to you, and really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye. Hey, so I just want to thank you so much for spending your time with me. And I want to challenge you to go out today and to just take notice and to stop and really look around and find at least one good thing, one thing to be thankful for. You know, if you do that today, you're going to find so many more things tomorrow without even trying. Because once you start, you begin to see what's always been there. And if you need a refill, you can come join me again for another cup. Make sure to subscribe and have an awesome day, and go be grateful.